Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with mindset coach Heather Hakes. Heather and I speak about actionable steps on how to create a life by design, not default, how to differentiate between intuition and fear-based thinking when making big life decisions, specific techniques for overcoming perfectionism while maintaining high standards, and more. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating, or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now on to my conversation with Heather. Heather Hakes, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
It's a true pleasure. I was saying before we hit record that I'm looking forward to this chat because it feels like I'm just chatting to a friend. You had me on your podcast a little while ago. I'm so grateful for that. And today we're going to talk about all things mindset and so on. But to kick us off, I would love to hear what is the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn from this conversation today.
You know what, I love talking mindset and manifesting, and really it's just helping people become a conscious creator of their reality, knowing, because I think a lot of people feel powerless or feel stuck, but I just want people to know no matter where you're at, you can create a better future.
Amazing, amazing. And we're going to talk about how they can do that. I'm really excited about all the strategies you're going to give us. But I'd love to hear, how did you get into mindset coaching?
Oh gosh, I'll give you long story short. I actually grew up kind of this idea of personal development. I remember when I was 8 years old coming home from school, my mom had Oprah on. So I grew up watching Oprah. I learned about a gratitude practice, a gratitude journal when I was 8. Then in my early teens, I started reading personal development books. Like, I've always been very curious. I remember in middle school psychology, like understanding human potential, intrigued me, but you know, like I followed the status quo. I followed what we're conditioned to do. I went to college. I got a degree. I got another one. I climbed the corporate ladder. I had all the things that were supposed to make me happy, and I wasn't. So that took me on another journey. I ended up quitting my 9-to-5, took a huge leap of faith, took like a 2.5 year sabbatical, got into podcasting, which turned into coaching. And so it's kind of like, if I had to sum it up, it's following the intuitive nudges. The question that kept coming to mind was, there's got to be more to life. And there is. So it's following those intuitive nudges and staying in curiosity and learning from mentors. And that's full circle where I'm at today.
You know that resonates so much with me, because my journey and your journey are alike in many aspects. And although yours, by the sounds of it, started a lot earlier than mine did, or at least the seeds were planted a little bit earlier than for me. But I love how you got out of that. And it's so funny when you say, technically, you had everything that should make you happy, right? You had a good job, you had probably a decent income from that, and then still thinking like, why am I not fulfilled? Why does that not feel aligned with who I truly am? And breaking out of that is so, so scary, but you listened to your intuition. And that's actually my first question to you. If someone has a hard time differentiating between their intuition and fear-based thinking, when making a big life decision, how can we know, like, what's the correct thing to listen to?
They're night and day difference. For me, and I can only speak from my experience, but I think generally this is what people experience. Intuitive, those like just nudges and the feelings are very soft. They're subtle. They're peaceful. Sometimes it literally is just kind of a gut feeling. Sometimes I'll just give an example of how I've learned to tune into it. And, you know, like life is always giving us opportunities and synchronicities. But here's a fine example. I remember one afternoon, maybe it was a Saturday, but I was on my way to the gym. And where I live, I'm kind of in the middle of the same gym. At the time, it was 24-Hour Fitness, but at two different locations. And I liked going to the one because it was more social, but the other one was closer to my house. And for whatever reason, that day I had intended to go to the social one, but I had this nudge and I listened that I didn't understand it, but just go to the closer one. Well, I ended up meeting a guy that day and got asked out and went on a date. And like, you have to listen and follow these nudges. Some people do kind of hear a voice. It's a feeling, it's a sensation, but it is subtle and versus fear and ego-based creates a lot of tension, anxiety, stress, maybe tightness in the chest, monkey mind, mental chaos. That is not the direction to go.
Yes, I think some people, as you said, like everyone has a body part where they feel their intuition. Some people feel it more in their spleen. Some people would say it's coming more from their heart. Other people might say my throat was blocked or something like that. And I think we've gotten so in tune with our body. We're so used to like having no connection to our body anymore that we're just trying to overrule everything with our logic. And I'll be the first one to put my hand up for that. Like, as soon as anything comes up, it's like, oh, let me run that calculation through that. That doesn't make sense. And you're like, no, Lisa, you need to practice letting go of control, listening to your intuition. And honestly, like the amount of times in my life that basically only good things have come from whenever I listened to the intuition, even though initially maybe it felt very scary, like less money or you're alone again, or you don't have that job security. But after a while, if you stick it out, and that's exactly that thing, because many people, they might even take the leap and listen to the intuition, but then the next load of fear comes in where it's like that old you trying to pull you back, and then they panic and then they make some weird irrational decisions. And then they say, oh, listening to my intuition didn't really work for me, but it's actually just you didn't trust it enough. You didn't have enough confidence in the whole thing. So, no, I really like what you said there in regards to how we can differentiate between that fear being loud, being kind of like trying controlling and in your face versus that not those subtle subtle nudges that we get from our intuition. And so yeah, I mean, a lot of the people listening probably similarly to me, and I don't know if you fall into this category too, but I am sort of a recovering perfectionist as well. And so I'm wondering if you have any specific techniques where we can overcome perfectionism while still keeping our high standards, like whenever in life, essentially, like when we are pursuing anything or in dating, even with nutrition in our sense here, like I don't want to be have to be perfect, but I still want to keep my standards high. How do you guide people from one to the other?
I'll step back just a moment. Something that you touched on. I came across a meme a few years ago and it said, the longest journey any human will take is the 14 inches from their head to their heart. And in science, what they talk about is creating brain and heart coherence. Because here's what happens. Most people are living in high beta brainwaves, stressed out, fight or flight, which creates all the dis-ease and all of the problems in our life. But most people are living in 5% in their head. When you can, and there's tons of practices, breath work, walking in nature, journaling, obviously meditation, when you can create the space to disconnect from the external and to go within, this is how you create brain and heart coherence, alignment. You like liberate energy and those stress emotions, and that's how you take your power back. So that's one step. I highly recommend creating a daily practice in which you disconnect from your sensory environment to go within, and you can start with 5 minutes. When I started meditating years ago, 3 minutes felt like a lifetime. And now I've done as long as 4 hours, which felt like 3 minutes.
You know what? We had a 30-day challenge at the end of last year, and the challenge wasn't, or was it? Yeah, end of last year. Anyway, one of the aspects of it was meditating for 3 minutes. And we had other things in there, like working out 3 times a week, tracking your food intake, several things. And the thing that people struggled with the most, but also said they got the most benefit out of at the end, was a 3 minute, I didn't even call it meditation, it was just a timeout stillness. No input, no nothing. Just you can sit there, you can go for a walk in nature, you could, even close your eyes, whatever. But it was the hardest thing for everybody. And I really, really wanted to highlight, like you said, start where you are. You don't need to think it needs to be a 30-minute meditation or an hour or longer.
Right. Then the second part to answer your question, I consider myself, I kind of joke, but I'm re a recovering type A. I used to need to be in control. Everything was planned out, my social calendar, everything planned out months in advance. I am now a complete 180. Like, it's kind of hard for me to commit to something this weekend or next weekend. I'm like, I don't know how I'll feel. I've not dealt with perfectionism. I think it's more like I dive in maybe without thinking everything through, but I dive in and figure it out as I go. And there's the saying progress over perfection, but perfectionism is actually coming, it's very fear-based that you're going to make a mistake. Of course you're going to. And you might fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail and you're going to make mistakes. But there's a book by Maxwell. Shoot. What's his first name? Anyway, Maxwell, fail forward, something like that. But the premise of the book is fail fast and fail forward. For example, I remember, so I'm close to 700 podcast episodes. How do you get to 700? Not from perfectionism. I dove in, had no idea what I was doing. I used to type out a script, hope it didn't sound like I was reading it. I would ask anybody who wanted to have a conversation to join me. Like, you have to get started, and then it's the constant adapt and innovate. And like, you just learn along the way.
That is such a good tip. Such a good tip, really. I mean, perfect. I think logically people hear that and know that, but then they just stand in their own way. I think, though, once you've done it once or twice, it's like with anything, that repetition and that showing to yourself that, hey, I didn't die from this. Hey, it was still a pretty good episode. Maybe it was even better in your case than if you were overprepared for a guest or whatever, because the best conversations flow usually from more of a natural kind of chemistry that people have. Or also, most people will probably agree that the vacations and everything that were super planned out from one moment to the next are usually not as fun as if you allow yourself to stay a little bit longer where you want to, or listen to your intuition and listen to the things that are truly fun. So, no, thank you for sharing that really great tip with us. And I'd love to hear if you have any specific like exercises or so for people that are brand new to self-development or mindset work. And you already mentioned meditation, you mentioned the connection between head and heart, but what else can people start off with?
The biggest thing, and I think anybody in personal development will talk about a morning routine. I very much call it a ritual on purpose because what word can you derive from routine? Rut. At some point, even going through the same thing becomes monotonous, and then you just fall into autopilot. You're not being intentional. And some people, have 6 hour morning routine. I'm like, less is more. I have a 4-step morning ritual that I will share with you. I use the acronym MIND. So the first one for me is meditation and movement. Those are my non-negotiables. And again, I keep it simple. So if I'm on the road or traveling, like, I can always stick to this. The second one is intention, setting an intention for today. So whether I'm up on a podcast or a client call or creating content, I want to be very intentional with how I'm showing up. The next one is about blessing a new day. So just expressing gratitude. I woke up today. Like, not everybody woke up today. You woke up today. And actually, something I say to my dog is, it's going to be a great day. Like, I say that, I state it. And the second, the last one, D, decide who I'm going to show up as. I am so clear on the life I want. I know who I need to be and showing up as. And it's a daily intentional practice. I am human. Of course, I fall off track, but I have a lot of tools in my tool belt to give yourself grace and get back on.
Oh, I love the aspect of clarity that you have. And I'm sure that's not something that you decide every day, like on the fly. I'm sure you also take times, like, I don't know, once a month or whatever, to really like get even more clear on who you want to be, what your overarching goals are, et cetera. But having that sort of simplified down to that mind, MIND, for your daily practices, so that when you are busy, you literally, you lock in that vision and you know, okay, I want to be Power Heather. I'm a world-class podcaster. I'm making this much money when I look into my bank account. I have a fulfilled relationship or whatever it is that you're so clear on that person, and you already show up as that person in your mind, and therefore your daily actions follow from that. And even down to the simple statement that you said, it's gonna be a great day, or it is, it's you've just you're deciding it. It's not like, oh yeah, well, if my coffee tastes good today and if the weather is nice, it might be a good day. No, you're deciding it's a good day. And I think if we are looking at the other end of the spectrum, where people wake up groggy, turn on the news, look at their phone, and you're just automatically, I mean, I would be too if I do this, I would also be in a, or did this, I would also be in a negative mood and simply thinking, what can all go wrong today? Oh no, there's another car crash, another 500 people died. And I mean, that's all sad, but there's nothing you can do about that in that moment. It's only going to put you in a negative state. So really, really love everything that you said. And you kind of hinted at the answer to my next question, but my question is, if life is really stressful and busy, let's just say like something particular comes up, not necessarily travel, but maybe something like Christmas, or you have a very busy work stretch. Is there anything additional or different that people can do to help them get through that?
I have a couple tools. One, I also have, I think it's five alarms on my phone throughout the day. So these are opportunities. So I have an alarm with an affirmation and tied to a song. So even if it's a 15-second break, it's a 15-second break to listen to that song, to get back in that energetic vibe, to read that affirmation to keep me in line. That's 15 seconds. So what is that? 75 seconds a day? The other one is I also have an evening reflection. This is something my tech team had, I had them build. So it's for my coaching clients, but I have one too. And it's just a quick daily check-in. What was my energy? What was my mood? What's a win from today? What am I grateful for? What's an intention for tomorrow? So I bookend my day.
Yeah, the book ending. I'm such a big fan of that. Again, that's when our mind is most receptive to anything coming in, and during the day we're just so busy. But yeah, if people are stressed out and during the day they just set themselves a few reminders, and I mean, no one can say that they don't have 15 seconds, right? That's very, very short. Even if you are running after your kids or in a busy work environment, you know, most people answer text or scroll through social media for that amount of time easily. So love the simplicity of this. And because I know you're very big on like application and giving us some great example. You've already given us some great examples, but I'd love to know if you have some maybe client scenarios where you could really see that the mindset work that you did with them, or that they've done independently, really created like a drastic shift in their life, or drastic results overall.
I'd say most of the time, individuals come to me because they're lacking clarity in their life or they feel stuck. And so, both of those is just feeling stuck, and they're stuck because they're dwelling on the past. I did a masterclass this week, and one of the participants, he is stuck, and I helped him create clarity. Okay, well, it doesn't matter where you're at. What do you want? Because here's what happens. Stress, they're actually very addictive chemical emotions. We become addicted to a victim mentality. We become addicted to worry, fear, stress, overwhelm. Like, those are very addictive chemical emotions. And that's why true change and transformation comes down to breaking the habit of being yourself. That's why awareness is everything. You have to have self-awareness. And every moment becomes a choice. Am I living by design or am I living by default? Am I evolving? Am I re-evolving? It's this constant state of flux based on awareness. So again, those clients that come to me dwelling on the past. So this individual this week, he made what he called a poor financial decision in the past that he's still beating himself up for. So think about it. He desires financial freedom. And I said, so picture this. You're driving down the road, but you're focused in the rearview mirror. You're going to keep crashing and hitting obstacles because you're not forward focused. And what we really drilled it down to, because you have to name the emotions in order to break the cycle, he's living in guilt. So
Whoa.
he's living in constant worry, overwhelm, and guilt. And this is about like self-forgiveness. Let give yourself grace. Learn from the past relationship, the business thing, the financial, whatever the circumstance was, learn from it and move on. Because if you don't, do you see how, and I see this a lot with people, they stay stuck dwelling on the past for prolonged periods, and I'm talking years. And so when you continue to do that, you stay in that vibrational, emotional state, and nothing in your life can improve because you're living in survival.
Really, really great point. I love the illustration of the rear view mirror. And one thing you and I spoke about in on your podcast was where I was saying that I realized I personally had some conflicting desires, some conflicting beliefs, where I was saying, yeah, I on the one hand, I was doing my manifestation and visualization of like, oh, I want this wonderful relationship and a great partner, and yes, I'm ready for it. But at the same time, secretly or subconsciously, I was saying to myself, like, oh man, I love this single life. I love the freedom that it comes
Right.
with, because I had felt what it felt like to feel really kind of locked in and so on. And so I was sending out two conflicting desires, and essentially, like exactly like you're saying, like kind of I wanted to drive forward. Yes, I was in gear. I did already turn the key into the direction of like a relationship, but at the same time, all I was looking at was just like, oh, I actually like what I see back there also. So I wasn't really
Yeah.
getting anywhere.
So it's called cognitive dissonance. Like, for example, I had two clients, this blew my mind. Two clients, a male and a female, in 1 week say the exact same thing. They both came to me, they're successful in business and finances, but relationships, not so great. And so the both of them came to me wanting to get over their relationship rut. So they both desire that marriage and that relationship. And the same week, both of them said, I'm happy on my own. And so that I stopped them and I said, you're sending mixed signals. Are you? And it's fine if you're happy on your own. And that's amazing. That's one life. But you told me you wanted this. So that's what it is. It's where you create internal resistance. So anywhere in life, you're not making forward progress in your health, your finances, relationships, or business. You have a misalignment either in your desires or you want something, but you feel unworthy. You want something, but you doubt you can. And that's why everything is an inside game. Life is an inside game.
Oh, this is, yeah, it's resonating so much with me. So I'll be fully transparent. I've over the years, and of course, I think most people with COVID or even last year also with everywhere there is inflation, let's just put it. And people have, financial issues. Everyone I'm sure is going through ups and downs here and there. But I every time when I see like numbers going down, obviously the opposite direction of where I want them to go to, my first initial instinct is going back to my original programming, which is you need to hoard money. Money is scarce. Don't spend any like thinking about, okay, where can I cut down? I better don't get my nails done this week. Maybe I shouldn't get my daily coffee that I love so much. Maybe I can go to a cheaper gym. And like it costs me a lot to not give in to those initial instincts. And what I've learned to do as an immediate other opposite reaction is I'm donating money straight away, even though like everything in me feels like so like no, don't do this. Oh my God, you don't even have enough for blah 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 blah, whatever it is you want. And then I'm like, no, I need to override this. I don't want to believe this. I have plenty. There is plenty. I'm donating to something. And it in the first instinct, it feels really difficult. It feels really, really difficult. But yeah, I mean, to your point, we cannot continue living in the same old mindset while wanting something new and just having that dissonance that you were talking about. I think that's a really great way to put it.
I love the example you gave because when we can, you caught yourself. So you're catching these limiting beliefs. But if you give that which you wish to receive, life is a boomerang. What you put out, you get back. So even if you're in fear, lack, and limitation, even if you could give a quarter, if you could, if you're at Chipotle or a casual takeout, drop a dollar. It's the little things. Like it doesn't have to be huge, but if you could, that alone can create this feeling of abundance. You know what I do? And every single time, I love finding money on the ground. Pennies, quarters to me, finding a quarter feels like I won the jackpot. But when I find a penny, like I tend to on social media, like I'll take a picture and my mantra is abundance is everywhere. And I find that penny, I find the dime, I find the quarter, and I express so much gratitude and excitement. Which gets me in that high vibe abundance mentality. And when I take aligned action by giving, then opportunities and more abundance comes in. But don't give to get,
No.
that's different. But giving because you know there's an endless supply.
Exactly. That's the belief I want to reinforce for myself, because my initial thought is like, oh no, there is not enough. I need to hoard it. And then I'm like, no, Lisa, you know it's not true. So give it away because there's more coming in.
You know what? Since we already touched on it, and this is just top of mind because there's a dating show and on Netflix and in the well, I know it's in Europe as well, but it's called Love is Blind.
I heard this one, yes.
I live in Denver, Colorado, and I guess the next season is coming to Denver. And if you can see on social media, everybody talks about no matter what city they're in, how limited, how scarce, how there's no good people out there. Whatever you believe to be true is true for you. So whether it's money, opportunity, potential dating and partnerships, I have a mentality. We live in a world of 8 billion people. Despite all of the limitations, I believe that there are plenty of suitors for me. I believe that.
And we need to have that consciousness and awareness of where our limiting beliefs such as that are, where we're like, I think it's so easy to catch other people using negative self-talk or using those, oh, I can't, I don't have, there's not enough, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes when we speak ourselves or speak to ourselves, we don't hear that anymore because it's so natural. So that's where I think like truly the power of a coach, but also just daily reflection and so on really comes in handy. And you do so much work, not just with your clients, but also for yourself, on yourself. You told me you've been to several of Joe Dispenza's retreats. I would
I have.
love to hear what your like main takeaways were from those retreats, if it's even possible to put that in a few words.
I can. It's very timely. I had this conversation with one of my girlfriends this week. We actually met in 2017 at a Tony Robbins event. So Tony Robbins was kind of my intro into in-person personal development seminars. I drank the Kool-Aid. I attended 7 events in 9 months, it was really easy to get hung up in the high, chasing the next high, becoming a self-help junkie. But for me, Dispenza's work has been truly transformational and sustainable. And what I shared with my girlfriend this week was, I don't know why, but like I just now, like I get it. Not intellectually, because I've understood the principles and the teachings. I've understood them. But until you apply them and embody them, I told her, I was like, it just, so this is 5 years. 5 years of studying Dispenza's work. I've read all his books. I've attended 4 of his events. Here's what I can sum it up. and I can sum it up because what I love about his work is he teaches through the science lens, neuroscience, how your brain works and how you can rewire it to create the life that you want. So what he teaches are three steps: that your personality, your state of being, which is your thoughts, emotions, and actions, that's it. Those three things create your personal reality. So, for example, 92% of people fail at New Year's resolutions or hitting goals. 92% of people fail. Why? Because they're trying to change surface level, maybe just habits, but they don't have the identity or the confidence or the belief. They don't have the mental attitude in play, so they haven't changed their habitual thoughts, emotions, and actions to be the person who has the fill in the blank. And that's why 92% of people fail. They don't have the identity piece in play. So what Dispenza's all about is this: reinventing yourself, get so clear on the life you want to live, the money, the freedom, the lifestyle, the partnership, your health, the experiences. Get so clear, and you're going to realize there's a gap, who you're being and what you want. So let me give a real world example. That guy this week in my masterclass wants financial freedom, but he is stuck dwelling on the past, worry, overwhelm, doubt, and guilt. So his thoughts, emotions, and actions are self-sabotaging, keeping him stuck. So what I explained to him is this idea of reinventing yourself. Who would you have to be? Forward-focused, confident, you have certainty, and you are taking aligned actions on somebody who is financially free. Because all of the desires you want are actually just the emotional payoff. You want a relationship because you want love and connection. Create love and connection within. So now let me tie in more Dispenza's work. He talks about we all have an electromagnetic field. Spirituality would call it an aura. So we all have this field around us, and based on your thoughts and emotional states, you're just putting out these literally vibrations. Life is a boomerang. Whatever you put out, you are getting back. So when you are living from the end, now this is a Neville Goddard teaching, but when you're living as if, not fake it till you make it, but embodying that version of you now, when you are living with confidence, feeling abundant, feeling free, you're putting out those vibes. And then, because the how's never your job, by putting out those vibrations, life synchronicities and opportunities and people and resources come your way. And that's the magic of life. Hopefully, I summed it up and made sense of all of that.
Yes, no, I'm just like letting it sink in because it's so wonderful. And as you said, it applies to everything in life. It applies to like the people listening, it applies to nutrition as well, right? This is the Nutrition and Life podcast. So, the person that you're trying to become with or wanting to become, what do they look like? What do they do on a daily basis to look like that? Do they move first thing in the morning? What do they put in their body? What do they do on the weekends? Like, what does that person's life look like? And already showing up as that person, and with the regards to the energetic vibe then as well, I think it's so important that we come from a place of like not trying to fix other people, fix the circumstances, but how can I show up better in that? We're so often so caught up with like, how can I, this is annoying about my partner, this is annoying about my work. If it was easier with nutrition, or with the food in my house, it would all be easy and so on. So we're so externally focused as opposed to thinking about, okay, what can I already do, or how can I show up better to maybe make my partner better, or to maybe, like it's supposed to come from within. So I truly, truly love it. And I mean, I just love your commitment to also going to live events. I think people listening, if you're remotely interested in self-development or so, there is really something profound about life events in any field. Of course, the next best thing is like one-on-one coaching in any kind of area, I believe. But aside from that, going to these live events, it's just it's an elevated consciousness and elevated field, or where we're able to like also feel the energy. I'm sure if anyone has been to a conference of any sort, they came back like buzzing and so many new ideas, and everyone is just aligned and on the same wavelength, and it's so wonderful to experience that.
Since you're, health and fitness, another participant on this week's masterclass, that was his desire. He really wants, so he ranked it. I asked people to rank, do a life assessment between a 1 and 10 health, and he ranked it as 6. So there's quite a room for improvement, 40% room for improvement. And he said his biggest block is self-discipline. So if we go back to your personality creates your personal reality, his thoughts, emotions, and actions, why do most people fail? Diets don't work. Instant gratification doesn't work. For people who are really overweight, if you don't deal with the emotional states that lead to binge eating, you could teach them nutrition and give them workout plans, and but it comes down to doing the daily reps, but more importantly, because that's just the habits. More importantly, it's the identity, the thoughts, and the emotional states of a healthy person. It's a lifestyle change. And I think if pe that was a big, even for me in business, realizing this is a long game. And when I changed that perception that this is all about a lifestyle and a journey, it's who I become in the journey. There, the, someday I'm just not going to wake up. So if you understand there's no overnight quick fix, it's who you become in creating healthy lifestyles, mind, body, spirit. Life, you can have anything you want.
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful example because I'm sure many people feel like they're struggling with self-discipline. So in this case, I'm just what draws my attention to that would also be like how much you have to with a client like that, how much you would have to dig into childhood, because I often feel like sometimes things like that stem from a little bit of I want to be a rebel, or maybe like they had a really, really, really strict childhood where, they weren't allowed anything. And so suddenly for him, it's like, okay, now that I'm free, I don't want to be that disciplined person anymore. Or like in other ends of the spectrum, I've seen that so many times when it's just like their identity comes from, or their food beliefs come from their mom, for example. They always saw their mom dieting, yo-yo dieting, doing anything extreme, and so suddenly they're also afraid of carbs, or they're also thinking, I always need to be a size 2, otherwise I'm worth nothing, because they've been told that, or because they just saw how the mom was living, or so. So I think that's yeah, that's quite interesting because sometimes we have to go quite far back. Is that something that you do with your clients as well, like kind of looking into where the limiting beliefs come from?
So again, for me, I really just stay in the emotional states because we don't need to go replay the past. But think about it like this. Think of an iceberg. Self-discipline is a symptom. If you lack self-discipline, it is a symptom to a much deeper rooted problem. And when I really drill down, generally speaking, if you lack self-discipline, you lack self-love. You don't feel worthy. And again, this is unconscious. So you don't understand why you keep self-sabotaging, but it's because the subconscious mind, your programs are, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, you lack self-love. So if you're coming from, I would call that like faulty mental programming, you can struggle and effort and try as hard as you want, and you will never make that forward progress, or you'll yo-yo 2 steps forward, 2 steps back. It's a horrible long game, right? So that's why when you drill down, okay, why? And so just ask why. And then you can get like 7 layers deep to understand the root cause. And again, it's that mental, emotional state, your state of being, your self-image. Then get really clear on who you do want to be. And through the consistency, meditation and neuroscience teaches us how to rewire, you step into this next version of you. And literally, like your old self dies away. Like a
Awesome.
rebirth.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and I like that you're, focusing on the now, on this aspect right now, because yeah, I think sometimes we can also get stuck in like trying to, oh, I need to fix the past first before I can move forward or so. But I mean, to the point that you also speaking about so passionately, so firstly, life by design, not by default, love it absolutely.
Yeah.
Now if someone is just like generally feeling super stuck, they might not even know what they want or they just kind of feel like they just feel stuck. They can't even put a finger on it. What are some first steps people can take? You already said like meditating, head to heart connection, evening reflection. So some wonderful tools, but what would be the very first thing?
The first step is always awareness. So, for example, and I have a free resource on my website, heatherhakes.com. It's called the Life Assessment. And that alone covers the major life buckets, asks for some short-term and long-term goals, but that's where you have to start. Where are you most dissatisfied in life? And the big three: health, finances, and relationships. That's what I see most often. And if you think of like all these major life buckets as spokes on a wheel, what is the common denominator? You. And you can see how, like, if you're really stressed out at work, it's affecting your health. If you're stressed out and relationships not going well, again, your health or your finances, like everything's connected. So when one area of life is off, it creates a bumpy ride. And that's why, as a mindset coach, I work on the common denominator. Remember what Dispenza teaches: thoughts, emotions, actions. When you change from the inside out, all of those major life buckets improve. So the first step is awareness. Take an assessment so you can see where you're at and you go all in on one area, total focus, because everything transforms with it.
Beautiful. Well, I will most certainly make sure to link your website and therefore this free resource as well, because I want people to go and not just check it out, but to actually use it to take a big inventory of their life, which I think truthfully, we should do that all at least once a year, like a proper inventory, very whether we feel stuck somewhere or not. I mean, most people kind of do the annual New Year's resolution type thing, but they don't actually take a proper inventory as a in regards to the various buckets of life. So I think that's a really, really great resource to have. And Heather, just thank you so much for your overall knowledge and time and all the work that you're doing. I truly, truly love the message and just hope it really resonates with people out there as well. And of course, I will link your handles in the show notes, but if you want to shout out where people can find you and get some more of your information, yeah, please do so.
Sure. The best place to start is my website, heatherhakes.com, but I'm on all the social networks. I'd say Instagram's my favorite, but I have a YouTube channel, so tons of free content and a podcast. But again, let's go back to the first step to creating change in your life. The big thing in personal development: knowledge is power. No, it's not. It's potential power. But like this podcast, and that's why I love giving practical, tangible takeaways. Go implement, go apply something you learned in order to create change in your life.
Please do so. Yes, listeners. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Heather. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening.